Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
The billionaire Dermot Desmond said that the Metrolink in Dublin would be obsolete by the time it opens due to the arrival of autonomous vehicles and advanced AI. While that ignores the fact that it would clog up the roads even further, it did shine a light on whether technology is moving so fast that we won't be driving our own cars in the near future. My next guest says that we should forget the metro versus self-driving cars debate and focus instead on creating properly smart cities. But what is that? And can't we have both? Stephen Prendeville is the infrastructure partner with Deloitte and is sitting in front of me. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Is it believable that most cars within 10 years would be autonomous or semi-autonomous, as Dermot Desmond suggested?
Well, they'll be enabled to be semi-autonomous or autonomous, Joe. Whether we actually turn that on or not is going to be a decision at a country level, you know, with regulators and all the rest of it. So the opportunity will be there for us, absolutely, especially maybe in particular zones or on particular routes to investigate actually putting that autonomous mode on. But I wouldn't foresee, and any of your listeners out there worried about their driving jobs at the moment, I wouldn't foresee a mass movement towards autonomy in our driving futures in that space of time. But it's absolutely within this century we're going to see that move.
Just to dwell a little bit on that, if we buy 100,000 cars, new cars a year, it would take something like 15, potentially 20 years to replace all the vehicle stocks.
Yeah, absolutely, it would. But that's not necessarily going to be what will dictate whether we go fully autonomous or not, because an awful lot of the sensors and technology are being built into the new cars today. You know, your lane assist.
I hate the lane assist. I'm dragging you back into a certain bit of the road.
And the dynamic cruise control and so on and so forth. So an awful lot of the autonomy might actually be able to go in as a software patch on top of vehicles that we have today. But it will still be a 20-year cycle if you even started today thinking about it, before you would have an omnipresence of autonomously enabled vehicles.
Now, what is a smart city?
So at its basic core, a smart city is a city that enables its residents and business to have a seamlessly integrated decision process for day-to-day living, playing, working. Now, how it does that is kind of where most people pivot. You know, it's about big data, it's about sensors, it's about cameras, and it's about having that data freely available so that apps and other kind of algorithms can run and kind of give you information so that you can make the best decisions in your life. And then at a city administration level, they can take the collective view of individuals and actually make optimized decisions for how they deploy resources and how we kind of live sustainably within a confines of a city area. And that's kind of where most people pivot in the smart city's mindset, is that, you know, it's big data and it's big tech. The reality is you can have big data and big tech and it won't be smart unless you kind of engage with citizens and actually work with the people that it's for to hit that ultimate goal of this seamlessly integrated life that we want to live.
Okay, now what's the difference between a smart city and a 15-minute city?
A 15-minute city will need to be inherently smart at a neighbourhood level.
Right.
Like a smart city will be sustainable, it will be resilient, and it will embody factors like a 15-minute city in order to be able to do that. I think a 15-minute city is just a way of thinking about another goal. So if you give the smart city the goal of allow me to do most of my daily life in a 15-minute radius of my home, the smart city would enable that.
Okay. By the sounds of things, to achieve a smart city, you need to install a fair bit of kit, a fair bit of new physical infrastructure.
Yeah, it's a lot of 5G, a lot of sensors, Internet of Things type modes, a lot of cameras, like I said. And then you need to look at the infrastructure environment that we have and see how it would adopt and how it would need to be changed. You know, this morning we're talking about compactor rubbish bins in certain areas of the city. You know, to make it smart, you would put a sensor on that to tell city council that it's full.
That technology is not that new.
No.
And yet, I don't think it's being used, not in this country.
Well, it's there. Now, in fairness, Dublin City Council, Cork City Council and others have smart city strategies that they're implementing on pilot basis in different zones in the city. Still in that kind of trial basis before there's a mass procurement. Because if you think about it, at the scale that we'd be talking, these would be big procurements for a lot of sensors, a lot of tech to be able to deploy it so that it actually integrates. You don't want to have you know, hundreds of different types of sensors on bins, for example, if we stick with that example. Mm.
Wouldn't a smart city also be able to detect if seagulls were ripping open plastic bags and spreading litter all over the world? That would be a smart city, wouldn't it?
It would. And wouldn't it be great if we had a portal where, as a citizen, you could easily report that, you know, most of your drivers this morning are on apps to get into work. And the app now is asking you, is the accident still there? Mm. You know, is the delay still there?
You shouldn't be looking at that phone, of course.
Of course, you'd be just glancing at it really to the side. But it's there. We're starting to empower people with that smart technology. But absolutely, whether it's being built into how we plan, how we regulate, how we think about incentives, how we think about demand management, stuff like that, we're not there yet, John.
Also, culturally, are we there? Because I can think of more obedient cities like Vienna and Munich and such like, in which that might be possible. I'm just not sure culturally it would work in our cities.
I think today, and you and I were talking beforehand, like it's generational, right? Mm. Like today, maybe 50% of your listeners have that app open, you know, to help them get to work. Mm. A 20-year-old today, probably 95% of them are on the app. You know, their willingness to trust and engage with the technology is quite a different level. And I think, yeah, if you try to install some of the carrot and the stick that's associated with a smart city today, you would have more people that would push back. But, you know, we are on the road already. A lot of us, if we do have those apps, just we are agreeing to share an awful lot of data about ourselves in our cars at the moment, whether we're doing that wittingly or not. But we're trusting the app as well. Look, a lot of people are on their regular commute, and if the app tells them turn left or turn right, they turn left or they turn right.
Mm. Isn't it fair to say that Ireland would be a late adopter of new technology, or possibly even a laggard when it comes to this big thinking?
It's interesting again, and it's probably generational, and it's in pockets, right? Because, you know, counter that with the fact that we've a lot of big tech here in the country that, you know, would have an awful lot of engaged young people or relatively young people that are very early adopters of the technology. But en masse, absolutely, we have a very healthy skepticism in this country.
You think it's healthy?
I would say it's healthy. I think we get to the right decisions at the end. Even the debate that we're having about Metrolink versus autonomous vehicles is good debate. Like we should have a forum to be able to engage in that space.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coming in, Stephen. That is Stephen Prendeville, an infrastructure partner with Deloitte.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.